Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to this Thursday edition of Today's Issues here on the American Family Radio Network. I'm Tim Wildman with Dr. Ray Pritchard, who's in Dallas. Good morning, Ray.
Good morning, Tim. How you doing?
Well, I'm doing pretty good. It's raining here. Been raining in Dallas, too, right?
You know, we got about 24 hours of constant rain. And then as a gift to our friends in the Southeast, we sent the rain your way.
Thank you. Thank you.
What are friends for, right?
Yeah. Wow. A lot of the South, I guess, has been just deluged this spring. Well, the winter started in January, and it continues. But what do they say? April showers bring, well, we're not even in April.
We're not even in April yet.
That's the problem.
Huh? March showers bring a lot more showers, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, something like that. Anyway, good morning, Walker Wildman.
Good morning.
Good morning, Fred Jackson.
Good morning.
The four of us here today.
Yeah.
And Walker, tell our folks how they can engage with us on the internet.
Yes, you can always visit AFR.net. AFR.net on the World Wide Web. There you can listen to American Family Radio 24/7 and find past shows, past recordings of the show. And on top of that, you can always find us also on Facebook and YouTube. Just type in today's issues on Facebook and YouTube. All the news stories will be posted there.
All right. Hey, folks, tomorrow we typically have, you know, on Fridays we have Trivia Friday, and we love doing that. It's a lot of fun and one of our most popular programs during the week. I don't know what that says about us all, but anyway, I guess it says we like to have a little fun every
People
once in a while.
People need a break.
They need a break. They need a break. But tomorrow, given the fact that it's Good Friday and Easter weekend, we thought it more appropriate to play a couple of specials, and that is and the fact that our office is closed tomorrow as well. But during this hour, tomorrow, we'll have a special by the Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir. Mm. You're going to love this. Yeah. You really are. It's a Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir Easter special, and that'll be airing tomorrow during this hour. And then after that, from 11:05 to 11:30, Ray is going to have a special, Ray Pritchard, and it's an Easter special as well. You want to tease us about what you're going to be doing during that half hour?
When Jesus died on the cross, one of the last things he said was, "It is finished." That's the great good news of the gospel. What was finished when Jesus died? Well, we're going to find out tomorrow. It was paid in full. So tune in tomorrow at 11:05 Central Time for a message for Good Friday and Easter. What does it mean when Jesus said, "It's finished"? Folks, it's really good news.
And that you're going to be the teacher on that program.
That's right.
Okay. So tomorrow, there you go. And then, of course, we'll return with Trivia Friday a week from tomorrow. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. And Fred Jackson, what's in the news?
Well, probably the two most famous text messengers are back in the news again. Peter Strzok and Lisa Page.
Yeah.
I think we've heard of them before.
They really ought to do something with their notoriety right now. I mean, that
started a TV show or something.
Well, what's their names?
Peter Strzok and Lisa Page.
They need to do something with that.
They sound like a folk singing group.
Doesn't it, right? Maybe a folk, maybe, you know, instead of Peter, Paul, and Mary.
That's right. It's exactly what it sounds
do
like.
Something like
well,
that.
During the Obama years.
That's if they're not in jail.
That's right.
True. Valid.
They did a lot of texting back and forth, along with being FBI agents, friends. They were boyfriend, girlfriend. They may still be. I don't know.
He was married, right? He is married.
He was having an affair, yes.
Yes, with Lisa Page.
Okay.
Anyway, they were busy text messaging a lot. And as we've been reporting over the last couple of months, it has been revealed through their text messages that, number one, they did not want Donald Trump to win the election, all right? That we're really clear on.
Okay, there's nothing wrong with that necessarily, though.
Okay, but they did want Hillary Clinton to win the election. Mm-hmm. Now, They are FBI agents. His boss, Peter Strzok, at the time this was all going on, was James Comey, the FBI director. Peter Strzok was in charge of the email, FBI's email investigation against Hillary Clinton.
Okay. It's getting worse. Yeah.
All right.
Here we go.
Here we go. So we've been hearing these emails. What's happening is the DOJ has been slowly revealing these emails thanks to Horowitz, who is the inspector general. He's been going through these emails, and they're slowly releasing these. All right. So what we have now, there's a bunch of new emails between Strzok and Lisa Page that were released yesterday. What they start to reveal is that there was a conspiracy. Some might want to call it a collusion between the FBI and the CIA and the DOJ and the White House.
You're about to wrap.
And Harry Reid, then Senate Majority Leader. They were all kind of in on this idea. And this we're talking about now, emails, text messages between these two, August 2016, September 2016. They were preparing for, now you got to take us back to 2016, that period. That's when it started to appear that Donald Trump might actually win the election.
Okay.
They were conspiring at this point with a plan, putting together a plan that would discredit Donald Trump. This is when they started talking about Harry Reid got a personal visit from then CIA Director John Brennan.
And this was prior to the election.
Yes.
Obviously, and Harry Reid was still
Senate Majority Leader.
Mm-hmm. Majority Leader, okay.
Yes. Shortly after the visit from John Brennan to Harry Reid up there in Capitol Hill, Harry Reid writes a letter in which he starts talking about Russian collusion and Trump people getting together with the Russians to help Trump win the election. Now, folks, this is all on top of what we have learned about the dossier. All right? The dossier, now we've talked about this a number of times. This dossier, which was really a Hillary Clinton campaign paid for, information on Donald Trump.
Strzok is also leading the investigation into Donald Trump at this point now.
At this point. All right. We now know that this dossier, paid for by the Hillary Clinton campaign, was taken by the FBI, and they went to the FISA court, which was set up in the wake of 9/11 to look for terrorists. They took this dossier to the FISA court, and without telling the FISA court that it was a Hillary Clinton paid-for document, use that to start spying on Donald Trump campaign workers, including Carter Page. Right. That's a lot of stuff there, folks. Horowitz, the DOJ inspector, announced yesterday that he has started now a formal investigation. Now, he has been investigating the email investigation of Hillary Clinton and how the FBI handled that. Now Horowitz has announced, as of yesterday, he's looking into the allegations that the FBI was not totally forthcoming with information with the FISA court on where this dossier came from. Now he's investigating that.
How is this not the fox guarding the hen house? I mean, who can we really trust here? This is not just the fix was in, right? The fix was in. And at least part of the FBI, I don't have to say the whole thing, but some people high up in the FBI were clearly working to make sure Hillary Clinton got elected. How is this not illegal?
Or if she didn't get elected,
yes,
that President Trump was cut off at the knees.
That's right.
Yeah. Right, and also it's these new text messages also revealed that the White House was heavily involved.
The Obama White House?
Yes, they were heavily involved in the investigation into Donald Trump.
Yes.
The potential collusion between he and Russia. So anyways, it's all coming together that this was not just one rogue employee at the FBI who had too much power. This was a very coordinated effort to go after possibly President Donald Trump by the Obama administration.
Okay, tell me now, Walker, who can do something about this?
Well,
somebody should get in trouble.
Attorney General Jeff Sessions has the authority to prosecute, to press charges. In my opinion, we don't need the Inspector General to launch a 4-year investigation into this, because the reason I say that is because the House Oversight Committee has already done a full investigation into the FISA abuses, of which this was all revealed. So Attorney General Jeff Sessions can use the evidence that the House has already put together, that Devin Nunes has already put together, and he can use that evidence to press charges.
Okay.
So in my opinion, there's no need to drag this on any longer. We know who all broke the law, or who all possibly broke the law, and we know enough to press charges. So
okay.
Peter Strzok, this is the thing. He's still working for the FBI.
Today.
He's still
How is
working.
That possible?
I don't know. I think he's been demoted to human resources or something of that nature, but he's still working for the FBI, getting a paycheck from the American taxpayers.
Let's be clear. There's nothing wrong with an FBI agent. They're having an opinion on politics that he can express through a text message to a colleague or a friend. Although I'm told at the FBI that's a no-no. That is to be involved in political campaigns or favoring one political candidate or another. They're supposed to be, straight right down the line. So there's nothing but how many people are people? They go to lunch and they say things and something's in the news. So there's nothing necessarily wrong with that. That isn't what we're talking about here. We're talking about FBI agents, plural, at least two, and their boss or two.
Deputy FBI Director Andrew McCabe, who was fired a few weeks
and
ago.
And the FBI Director, James Comey, who was fired by President Trump. There's just too much written evidence that these folks detested candidate Trump and were worried that he would be elected, and they wanted to do something to stop him from being elected, or if he got elected, they wanted to how'd they code the plans? Insurance policy that if he were elected, they would start undermining his presidency, i.e. the Trump collusion theory that's been going on out there. So all this is, like Ray said just a few minutes ago, it hurts the credibility of the FBI, and it makes you wonder who you can trust. Mm-hmm. And you got a feel for Attorney General Jeff Sessions in this way. I know that people are upset with him, including the president, on recusing himself from the Russia collusion investigation, which I guess is eternal. Jeff Sessions walks into a Justice Department that he doesn't know who to trust in any of the offices down the hall.
Right.
And think about that. You walk in and you're the new boss at a place where you're learning that everybody there was opposed to the guy who appointed you. And you don't know who to trust, who to tell what. And how do you investigate somebody when that person's going to tell, when you go to an investigative person, and that person you're worried is going to go tell the other person that they're being investigated. You see what I'm saying? It's just right.
Wonder how long we give Jeff Sessions.
Okay. Well,
I wonder. He's been in there a year and a half now.
He did fire McCabe the other day.
He did.
Andrew McCabe, he did fire him unceremoniously, I might add, 2 days before he was going to retire. He didn't even get his pension.
Yeah.
We will see what happens next. Big story, though, in the news now.
Incidentally, who's behind these text messages that are coming out? Are they being – it's interesting because they're not all being released at once, right? So we get a couple or a few, then we wait a few more days and get more. Is that coming from – is that somebody inside the Justice Department
that's,
who's
that's
orchestrating that?
That's the DOJ Inspector General. Mm-hmm. That's Michael Horowitz. And what's happening is Horowitz, as he finds these things out, as he goes through these thousands of text messages, he goes to the DOJ and he says, okay, I've got all of this. Then the DOJ says, okay, we'll look at them and decide what's being released.
Jeff Sessions would probably have the final authority on that.
Yes.
I would say.
And so they're slowly, it's like you're peeling an onion here.
Right? And Inspector General is kind of like an auditor.
Yes.
In a way. I mean, he or she is supposed to be independent of office pressures, so to speak. They're supposed to be able to, you know, investigate anything within a, for example, within a company, an auditor, especially an outside auditor, comes in and looks at all your books and then reports whether there's anything potentially illegal going on or shady or somebody stealing money from the company or that kind of thing. It's to protect you and your company or your business. We have an outside audit here at American Family Association. But in this case, this is an internal office, the Office of Inspector General, which, thank God, all these federal government agencies do have.
Mm-hmm.
And we learn a lot from the reports from the inspector generals.
So given all this information that's coming out from the DOJ's investigation so far,
yeah,
is it any wonder why President Trump is suspicious,
right,
of the Mueller investigation,
right,
into the alleged collusion? Remember, right, Bob Mueller was James Comey's boss.
Yeah, yeah.
And Mueller...
It's a patent place.
Yeah,
right.
Mueller, when he was set up to do this investigation, hired a bunch of Democrat lawyers.
Yeah, I know. I know if you're President Trump, I mean, the whole thing... The whole thing is stacked against you, to use Ray's term earlier,
mm-hmm,
the fix was in.
Mm-hmm.
He had all that against him from the get-go, and then the deep state,
right,
which is, this is part of the deep state. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Well, for those of you who are looking for your Washington Rust investigation fix, there you go, ladies and gentlemen.
There you go. It continues on and on.
Okay.
You know, a lot of people are saying, okay, isn't there enough information that we can do something about, mm-hmm, this now?
Well, to Walker's point, I think we see what Jeff Sessions does in the next couple weeks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
What's next?
Well, you know, I just want to say.
Yes, go ahead.
It certainly feels like, I'm thinking about the rhythm of this. It certainly feels like in another week or so, we're going to get another batch of text messages. It doesn't feel to me like, guys, that we're at the end of this.
Right.
And so maybe Jeff Sessions is waiting,
right,
you know, until he's got plenty to move now, but maybe he's waiting for,
yeah,
the final foot to fall and then say, we're going to move in and do something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Me. Nobody else here.
I hope so.
Because I'm all alone.
That's right.
Huh?
Oh, my.
Okay.
All right. President Trump, another firing yesterday. He fired David Shulkin, who's been heading the Veteran Affairs.
Yeah.
Lots of controversy there, as we're aware, over the last couple of years, the way our military people have been treated at the VA. Well, President, remember, Shulkin was there under the Obama administration.
Oh, he was?
Yeah, he was a holdover.
Oh, well, that's interesting. Okay.
Yeah. But yesterday, Shulkin's tenure there came to an end, and the president has appointed Rear Admiral Ronnie L. Jackson, no relation, has the new head of the VA. Now, he will have to go through a Senate hearing on this. But you may remember Dr. Jackson did an unusual thing back several months ago. After the president underwent his annual physical,
yes,
Dr. Jackson came out to the press room there at the White House and for about an hour answered questions from the mainstream media,
mm-hmm,
as do Presidents Trump. Well, the mainstream media wasn't that interested in his physical health.
No, they didn't care about the Big Mac.
No. What they wanted to know, what about his mental health? Because remember all the stories, conspiracies, all the stories about the president's mental health. CNN, during that press briefing that day, brought in their own Sanjay Gupta, Dr. Gupta, to answer questions. Now, Dr. Jackson clearly said he did all the tests. They did this extensive. They went outside and used this software, this test that psychiatrists use to assess mental capacity. They did all this test, and Dr. Jackson said the president scored unbelievably high. In other words, he's a very, very smart man, President Trump.
That's what
very smart man.
Yeah.
This is what Dr. Jackson.
But this is the gentleman who's now been appointed to oversee the VA.
Exactly.
As of today, because, well, the Veterans Administration, though, they've had a bad reputation for
years,
a couple of decades at least, mm-hmm. Of poor treatment for veterans. I'm not disparaging everyone who works for the VA, not by any means. I'm just saying we all know they've had a bad reputation. And President Trump talked about this on the campaign trail, that he was going to, clean this up and make this much better for veterans. And I'm kind of surprised that he let a Obama-appointed holdover stay this long, but he's making a move today. Okay.
And what do you do when you're fired by Donald Trump?
Uh-huh.
You run over to the New York Times and you write an editorial.
That's what this fella did here? What's his name?
David Shulkin, this morning, has written an editorial.
All right. What'd he say, Fred?
The New York Times. He said his ouster is driven partly by an agenda at the White House to privatize the VA.
Huh. Mm-hmm. That's a novel idea. That is a great idea.
He believes that the President Trump, given the two decades or more of problems at the VA with government trying to run something,
that couldn't be worse.
Maybe it's time to turn it over to the private sector.
Also, this director of that department, the VA, Mr. Shulkin, he was also facing ethics complaints on using government money for private travel.
Did he say that in his New York Times?
Oh, no.
He would never say that. No, this is a separate issue. And also,
was confession?
That was one of the reasons, I believe, that the former HHS secretary, Tom Price, had to step aside for using government money. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, some of these issues, they step into it, so to speak. These are issues that they could have avoided to help save their job.
Right, right.
All right.
So there you go. As I say, what they do, they go to the New York Times. Of course, the New York Times doesn't really care about the expense scandal involving Mr. Shulkin. Now they're friends with Mr. Shulkin because Mr. Shulkin's criticizing President Trump.
I don't know why the idea of privatization for the VA shouldn't be looked into. Because maybe they can make it a lot better place if you have, you know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
I think the bottom line you should be the most interested about is the care and well-being of the veterans. And if a private run company, if that's what you call it, who oversees this, makes it a much better place, then why would you be opposed to that? I don't
remember the scandals that were going on, been reported on over the last couple of years. The VA was reporting that it had seen, dozens and dozens and dozens of soldiers, military personnel, and that was all a lie. Mm-hmm. They were fudging
the numbers,
all those numbers. I mean, it was
people
horrible.
Were dying.
People were dying, waiting,
literally
waiting. Right.
Yeah.
Right. It was horrible.
All right, we're going to take a break right here, and when we return, let's see, we've got some guesses. Peter Strzok going to be on today? Did he accept our invitation?
He's busy writing text messages.
That's right.
About his text messages.
Oh, my word.
The best place he can be right now is still working for the FBI. Seriously, he's safe there.
I wonder what he and Jeff Sessions say to each other when they're at the coffee machine.
I'd like to be a fly on the wall to listen to that conversation.
What's his name? What's the guy's name?
Peter Strzok.
Attorney General Sessions? Peter, what's up? How's it going for you? Fine, Attorney General. Hey, by the way, you going to release any more of my texts today?
That's right. But stay tuned for tomorrow.
Yeah. You could give me a heads up on that one. I need to be ready to write an editorial for the New York Times. Should I be relieved of my duties here? We shall return momentarily with more of today's issues on American Family Radio. Stay with us.
On the next Today's Issues.
Walker Wildman is handling our Facebook presence in the world.
Yeah, if you have a Facebook account, just type in Today's Issues in your search bar, and then our page will pop up. And you can watch the show there every day, or you can view all the articles that we talk about.
Right, but you can also be our friend.
Don't miss the next Today's Issues. Weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio and on Facebook.
Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. Well, our June Spiritual Heritage Tour is full, and our September trip is filling up fast. So if you want to go with us to Washington, D.C. and Mount Vernon for our Spiritual Heritage Tour, you need to sign up soon. We're going to be seeing lots and lots of sites, including the Capitol, the Library of Congress, the Supreme Court, the Jefferson and Lincoln Memorials, the Korean and Vietnam Memorials, the Arlington National Cemetery, and much, much more. For all the information on this tour, September the 19th through the 22nd, please go to the website spiritualheritagetours.com. That's spiritualheritagetours.com for all the information. And we also go to Williamsburg, Jamestown, and Yorktown. That's a separate trip, but we put them back to back in case you want to do both of those tours. Again, that's in September. For more information, go to the website spiritualheritagetours.com.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Stearns with news and commentary next.
From Affirm Films, the studio that brought you Risen and War Room, comes Paul, Apostle of Christ. Two men challenged an empire in order to live out the gospel of Jesus Christ and spread their message to the world.
Where sin abounds, grace abounds more.
Starring Jim Caviezel. Paul, Apostle of Christ. Rated PG-13. May be inappropriate for children under 13. Now playing. More information is available at paulmovie.com.
Georgia lawmakers are investigating Kennesaw State University over accusations of systematic bias against conservatives and Christians. The taxpayer-funded school's already facing two federal lawsuits. Among the accusations, professors force students to confess their white privilege as a condition of their grade. One parent called my radio program saying her daughter was required to attend a sexually explicit play.
There was Trump bashing in the play. There was explicit talk about him with his acts with other men. They talked about the blankety-blank Republicans in the play. And, you know, my husband and I are sitting there thinking, we're paying money for this.
University leaders tell lawmakers they, too, are investigating the accusations. But let's be honest. It's no secret conservatives and Christians have long been treated as second-class citizens on university campuses. I'm Todd Stearns.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. We have 184 stations, if you're wondering. 184 radio stations across the good old U.S. of A. We have a lot of listeners international. Who listen to American Family Radio on our apps. We have multiple apps, just one. We have an app?
We have one American Family Radio app.
Okay. But that's on the app?
Yeah, it's available on multiple devices.
Okay. Anyway, listen to American Family Radio anywhere in the world. Clear as a bell on your app. We have a lot of people, as I say, who are part of the AFR family who don't listen on the radio because they don't get one of our radio stations. All right, tomorrow, Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir will have a special from 10:05 to 11 o'clock Central Time during this hour. It's an Easter special. It's fabulous. You don't want to miss that. We normally have Trivia Friday tomorrow, but because it's Good Friday, we thought it more appropriate to do something a little more spiritual. So we're going to air the Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir special. And then also Dr. Ray Pritchard, who's with us Tuesdays and Thursdays, and he's with us today. We'll have a special. Brother Ray will be preaching and teaching on Easter, about Easter tomorrow from 11:05 to 11:30 Central Time here on American Family Radio. Hey, if you want to send us an email, you can do so at this address, comments@afr.net, comments@afr.net. I'm Tim Wildman with Walker Wildman, Fred Jackson, and Ray Pritchard. Joining us now from Minnesota is Jan Markell. Jan is with Olive Tree Ministries. She's the founder of Olive Tree Ministries, and she joins us most Thursdays. She has a radio program heard on other fine stations, but certainly heard on American Family Radio twice on the weekends, called Understanding the Times. Jan, good morning to you.
Well, thank you for having me.
Hey, what are you doing on your show tomorrow, or Friday, Saturday and Sunday?
Well, believe it or not, your dad, Don Wildman, comes up in the conversation. I'm talking to Dr. Dave Reagan, and he's talking about his book on the prophetic voices to America, 13 prophetic voices that have really changed America. And one of those voices is Don Wildman, but we've got others, Franklin Graham. Oh, my goodness, we've got so many. Robert Jeffress, just a lot of. I am actually one of the voices he talks about for some reason. So that's what we're going to talk about. How have these men really, and women, if you include me, I guess, changed America? I mean, I bet your listeners don't know that Don Wildman was once called the Ayatollah of the airwaves because he scared so many people and made so much sense that he changed a lot of communication policies in this country.
Well, the Hollywood community is hated a lot of people, probably none worse than Don Wildman over the years. And we wouldn't be talking here today to Dave Reagan's point. Dave Reagan is a good friend of mine too. Lion and Lamb,
right?
Ministries, and they deal a lot in Bible prophecy. But we wouldn't be talking here today had it not been for the vision that my dad had for creating American Family Radio. So we do all owe him a great deal of gratitude. Of course, I wouldn't even be here at all if if it weren't for Don Wildman. Huh, Fred? I wouldn't be here at all.
That's a good point.
Yeah, isn't that a good point, biologically speaking?
That's right.
I wouldn't even be here at all. Fred, you had something.
Well, he was a culture warrior. Yeah. I mean, he didn't just change broadcasting by presenting the truth, but he was a culture warrior who said some of the things that probably Franklin Graham is saying today, that America's kind of going sideways on the cultural issues, and there's a price to pay if we do that.
You know, we'll explore this more on another program later, but one of the things my dad did back in the 70s and 80s and others, God began to open the eyes of some people around the country. So my dad wasn't the only one. The LaHayes come to mind. James Dobson, James Kennedy, Adrian Rogers, Jerry Falwell, Larry Burkett, others. I'm leaving people out. Marlon Maddox. I'm leaving some out, I know, and I don't mean to. Those are some names of the people that were good friends with my Phyllis Schlafly and others. God began to awaken this group of people to give leadership to the Christian community in response to what fundamentally was an attack on the gospel and God through the philosophy of our ideology of something called secular humanism.
Right.
And I remember my dad, he would write on this often, and he would also print the Humanist Manifesto in its entirety. Remember, you know, this is back when people read lengthy,
right.
You know, people read lengthy things, and he would publish the whole Humanist Manifesto in, you know, to show and to demonstrate that this was a coordinated, orchestrated effort to undermine our Christian Republic. Mm-hmm. And so he was a prophet and a man who had, who could see into the future. I don't mean that in some kind of weird way. I'm talking about a godly way. All right, Fred asked, you had something you wanted to ask Jan about?
Yeah, well, it kind of goes along what we've just been discussing about the warnings of our freedoms being taken away, and Brother Don and D. James Kennedy, Falwell, all of those warned about what we are facing today. And we know in this country there are forces out there that want to take away our freedoms to do what we're doing right here today, Christian radio, what we can say on the air. But a story caught my eye this morning, Jan, from London, and a Canadian Christian preacher happened to be visiting London, and he was a street preacher, and he was arrested the other day for what he had to say about homosexuality. And I just want you to comment, because I know you keep your eye on things going on in Europe, what's happening there, again, as a warning, a lot of people say, well, that'll never happen in this country, that we'll always have those freedoms. But that's not the case, because that secular humanism you were mentioning, Tim, is coming over us like a wave as well. And we could see the day when preachers like this Canadian street preacher His name is David Lynn. He has a church in Toronto. You could be arrested here for simply preaching the gospel and preaching what the Bible says about sin.
Absolutely. I've tried to monitor Europe for a number of years, and even long before I was monitoring it, because this would probably go back to the 1960s easily. They joyfully, willingly threw God out of the entire continent, which doesn't mean there aren't remnant believers over there and remnant churches in all the countries of Europe. And those folks are trying to hold to truth and trying to hold to the gospel. But they're overwhelmed and overcome by secularism. And beyond that, they're overcome by Islam. And their churches are being transformed into mosques. And I've talked to so many guests on my radio program and my conference activity who have documented the decline of Europe. It's staggering. I remember not just a few months ago watching online a style show, a fashion show, and probably nothing wrong with some of the fashions. However, the models, and I'm not kidding, the models were all decked out in satanic emblems and symbols, and some were wearing horns and others were wearing pentagrams, and then they were modeling the clothing, and this was being done in a former church. It may have been currently a church. If so, it would have been extremely liberal. I think it was a current church. But it just, that was so indicative of what's happened to Europe and what believers in Europe are saying to Americans. And I've been able to guess what they say to Americans is, boy, pay attention to what happened to us, because if you guys don't be careful, mm-hmm. it's going to happen in your country. It's a guarantee. Yeah. And the more the secular left gets their claws into things, the sooner that's going to happen.
Exactly. And the, by the way, secular humanism is the underlying ideology. It's played mm-hmm. out in politics and in society under the name progressivism. So it's people should understand that. One other question I had, Jan, then we got Alex McFarland coming up in just a few minutes. You and I have not talked before this show, so I don't know how much you've paid attention to this, but the Saudi crown prince,
yeah,
whose name is Mohammed bin Salman, Salman, S-A-L-M-A-N, younger fella, he looks to me like he's in his 30s maybe.
Mm-hmm.
He is trying to bring a more Western view yeah. to Saudi Arabia, which is a good thing, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Go ahead.
Yeah, he seems to be close to Jared Kushner, but here's the background with all of this. And I recently featured an article of 20 people to keep your eyes on in 2018, and he's definitely one of them. He's up near the top, as a matter of fact. What's going on is Saudi Arabia is terrified of Iran and of Iranian nukes. And if Iranian nukes start raining down on parts of the Middle East, starting with Israel, they're going to target the Saudis as well. They're going to target Sunni, more moderate Arab nations, because Iran is, a bunch of extremist Muslims yeah. waiting for the Mahdi, waiting for the Islamic Messiah. So having said all that, Salman is sort of the inheritor of this incredible kingdom, not a very nice kingdom based on what they're doing to women and other people. But nonetheless, he is of a generation that is, I would say, friendly to the West, that is very a close friend of Jared Kushner. And I think underlying, they're hoping for some kind of a peace agreement between Israel and Palestinians.
Yeah.
Personally, I don't think that'll ever happen. But nonetheless, that's how they're, that's kind of the history behind what's going on.
Yeah, he's 32.
Fear of Iran, a more westernized young man here and a close associate with a relative here of Donald Trump.
He's 32 years old, heir to the throne. He's
yes.
currently on a three-week tour of the U.S. He met two Roman Catholic and three Jewish figures on Wednesday. He's in New York right now. This is a quote from him. He wants to ease the country toward, quote, moderate Islam, open to the world and all religions, end of quote. So, mm-hmm. you know, if this happens, it's good news.
Absolutely.
And we will.
This is one of the positive offshoots of the Trump administration. He back well, almost a year ago, last spring, made that incredible trip to the Middle East, which was yes. historic in every way. And he talked turkey to this young man's entire family. He's got uncles and grandfathers still in power there. And he, you know, Trump just told him, you know, we've had it with terror. Shape up, or we're going to be changing our policy towards you. And
I remember that. I remember that. Yeah. Most of us were going, he's really said that to the crown prince? And he did. President Trump, as you say, talked directly to these folks. Listen, Jan, your program airs twice on the weekend here on American Family Radio. It's very, very
we're
popular.
We're on Saturday 1 Central, on Sunday noon Central, and we love our AFR audience because they are tuned in, and that's what we appreciate.
It's called Understanding the Times with host Jan Markell. It's 1 p.m. on Saturday Central Time, noon on Sunday Central Time, right here on American Family Radio. Take care, Jan. Appreciate you being on with us.
Thank you. Bye now.
Bye-bye. That's Jan Markell joining us from the great state of Minnesota. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. You ever been to Minnesota, Fred?
I have, and fortunately I went in the summertime.
I did too, went in September.
Yeah.
Rode a boat on the St. Croix River.
There was no snow.
It was gorgeous.
In January. No. It's a whole other state in January.
In January?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've known people to move.
It's a cold state. Very cold.
Just to up and move because they can't take it anymore. The long winters in the upper Midwest. God bless our friends in the upper Midwest. All right, we want to welcome now to our program Dr. Alex McFarland. Alex is heard each afternoon here on American Family Radio with Brother Bert Harper on the program Exploring the Word. And Alex just finished hosting a big conference in North Carolina that our own Fred Jackson attended.
Yeah.
And that Abraham Hamilton III spoke at, right, Fred?
Yeah, we were talking to Alex this morning. I was filling in for Sandy. And a great conference. Fantastic conference.
What was the name of the conference, Alex?
Truth for a New Generation, TNG, sometimes we call it.
Yeah, what was it? Did you have a theme for the conference this time?
The theme was Save a Nation. Save a Nation, because we believe the only hope for America is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Hey, Alex, I want to ask you, this is Holy Week, as you know, as we all know here. Tomorrow's Good Friday, and then Saturday. By the way, Ray, are you still there?
I'm right here.
Are you doodling? Or
No, I'm listening to the whole thing.
Okay, I apologize, Ray. We completely ignored you for 15 minutes, but we won't.
Hey, we had Jan. She was rolling.
She was.
Okay, I just wanted folks to know we still know Ray's there in Dallas. Alex, talk about... you know, you've spent a lot of your life talking about what's known in the Christian theological world as apologetics. Talk about that for a minute. Is there evidence that we can point to that supports the story of Easter?
Absolutely. You know, one of the great things about Christianity is the fact that the claims of Christianity can be investigated. The eyewitness testimony to the empty tomb, the changed lives of the disciples. Not only that, let me say one of the proofs of the Easter, that the Son of God rose from the dead, and this is not often talked about, but the radical change to worship on Sunday. I mean, think about this. Pious Jews who for centuries had observed a Saturday Sabbath, and in fact, Mark 15:42 said that Jesus was crucified the day before the Sabbath. Suddenly, multitudes begin to worship on Sunday. Now think about this. Their very relationship with God was tied to the faithful observance of the Sabbath. And suddenly they begin to worship on Sunday. Clearly something happened. And this is just a few of the reasons that we do accept that, yes, Jesus rose from the grave, as he said, and that empty tomb is proof of who he claimed to be.
Alex, you know, there are some people today on the liberal side of the spectrum, and I think maybe more and more, who want to spiritualize all this or say it doesn't really matter. You can know Jesus, and you don't have to believe in the literal resurrection of the dead. What is at stake? Not just in believing that he died, but what is at stake, Alex, in believing that he literally
actually physically rose from the dead?
Great, great question. Well, you know, Paul says this in 1 Corinthians 15. And by the way, even critical scholars will acknowledge that 1 Corinthians 15:3-5, which is kind of the resurrection statement, Christ died, was buried according to the Scriptures, rose from the dead for our sins. That is an early church creedal statement that they would memorize and repeat. And even critical scholars acknowledge that the Philippians 2, 1 Corinthians 15 probably comes to us from within 4 to 8 weeks after the cross. I mean, this is huge. I want to speak to your point about the literalness of the resurrection. But here's the thing. A lot of the great statements of the divinity of Christ and he rose from the dead, yes, it's true, the rest of the New Testament wasn't written till, you know, 40 to 70 A.D. But the basics, the core of the gospel, death, deity, resurrection, the church was memorizing, repeating, passing on within 6 to 8 weeks after the cross. Now, I'm telling you that because I can accurately remember stuff from 6 to 8 weeks ago. And critics often say, well, you know, the New Testament was changed and it was corrupted, and who can know hundreds of years after the fact what really happened? The core of the gospel, the church was proclaiming and defending within weeks after the resurrection. But Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, if Christ is not risen, we have no hope. And so the fact that he literally did physically rise, you know, Luke 24, Jesus said, touch me, a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see me have. He literally rose, and that confirmed his identity and his message.
Talking to Dr. Alex McFarlane, joining us from North Carolina. Are you traveling today?
No, I'm home. I'm in central North Carolina today, folks.
Okay. Well, do you have a book on this topic you're talking about? This is very interesting.
Well, God bless you. We just did an audiobook, actually, with American Family Studios, Jeff Shambly and his fine staff. We did an audiobook where we go over 10 common myths about Christianity, and it just came out a couple of weeks ago, actually, but it's on the AFA store. If you Google and find that the AFA store, in the audiobook, Tim, I interviewed about 330 college students for over a year and a half. I worked on this, and we were talking, you know, with college kids in San Diego, California, Texas, you know, Chapel Hill, and we were just basically saying, you know, what do you believe about God and Christianity? And we talk about the resurrection. We talk about the eyewitness testimony. We even the biblical Jewish, Greek, and Roman sources that reference who Christ was, what evidence do we have. And the bottom line, I mean, if you can believe in George Washington, if you believe that Napoleon fought Wellesley at Waterloo in 1813, I mean, if you can believe in many facts of history no one would dream of disputing, you can absolutely believe in Jesus because we have much more comparable evidence. Mm-hmm. So we have, think about this, 42 sources reference Julius Caesar, more than 150 sources reference Jesus.
Amen.
And so many more times the legitimacy of trusting in Jesus than other historical figures no one would question.
Alex, I want to ask a follow-up question. You know, on this weekend, Good Friday and Easter, a lot of people, a lot of Christians, they will go, this is a weekend, among other things, that you might, if you have a loved one who's died, you might go to the cemetery, and you might think about the one who has died. What's the connection between the resurrection of Jesus and our hope of seeing those who have died in Christ again?
Oh, wow. Great question. It's everything. You know, Jesus said, because I live, you will live also. For those that maybe this Easter there's going to be an empty chair at the table and you've buried a loved one, let me say this. The Bible promises, ironclad promise, that the dead who die in Christ, we will be rejoined. And if you're a believer, John 6, verse 40, Christ said, whoever sees the Son and believes in him
will have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. In Jesus, you know, we have all the hope, and it's not just some pie-in-the-sky wishful thinking, but this is reality, that we will be rejoined in heaven with our loved ones, but even more than that, with the Savior who gave his life for us in love.
You're listening to Today's Issues. Alex, thanks so much, and we look forward to hearing you and Brother Bert this afternoon on American Family Radio.
God bless you, and happy Easter, everybody.
Happy Easter to you. Alex McFarland joining us. He said that audio book was available at our store, our online store.
I'll double check that.
AFAstore.net. AFAstore.net, I think is what he said, an audio book. You're listening to Today's Issues. Fred, we got a couple minutes. We got about 4 or 5 minutes left on the program. What did you want to discuss?
You know, we have reported about the difficulties Christian students are facing at secular universities today.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's a story today, and this kind of surprised me. It's a story about a university in Georgia. Now, when we think of liberal universities, we often think of, you know, in New York and California and places like that. But this is Kennesaw State University. And Georgia lawmakers are now investigating reports of extreme biases against conservative and Christian students there. And yesterday, Todd Starnes, our good friend Todd Starnes, in his radio program, was interviewing State Representative Earl Earhart, and he's heading up this investigation. Now, the university is already under federal investigation, at least 2 federal investigations, for lawsuits alleging bias against conservatives. And according to State Representative Earhart, one of the things that has happened that he's heard from students that some students recently, I guess, were forced as a condition of their grades to confess their white privilege in a video. That's the allegation. The professor said, you must get up, you must make a video confessing that you have white privilege.
To get a passing grade in class?
To get their grade.
Oh, man.
Well, now, that's a state university.
That's right.
So they get state money. So the legislators in Georgia need to investigate this. And if that's true, they need to fire that guy and or the university president if he was allowing for it to happen under his watch and didn't do anything to stop it. That's my view on this. What are they hoping to prove with these? And by the way, you mentioned you expect liberalism on campuses. And I'm talking about it's beyond liberalism, isn't it, Ray? It's like far left, far, 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 far left.
Marxism. Well, this is just statist indoctrination.
Yeah. There you go.
That's what I've heard said. Our universities, and I know there's some good ones out there, and there's good professors. I understand all of that. But I've heard it stated in broad terms that we have stopped the goal of educating our students in our universities. It's now about indoctrination.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I would just say, my point was, this is all over the country.
Yes.
It doesn't matter where anymore. Right. You think, you know, that this is only relegated to certain parts of the country that are known for their quote, progressive views. No, this is on college campuses everywhere. And I would say the far left dominates college campuses 90%.
Yeah.
I would say 90 to 10.
Mm-hmm.
And in terms of the ideology and the politics of the professors, it's probably 90 Democrat / progressive, 10 conservative.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a conservative Christian, you know, you better have tenure. Well, you're probably not going to get a job in the first place.
That's right.
It's very, very difficult to do. We shall return in 5 minutes with more of Today's Issues on American Family Radio.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.